Broadcasting from the super secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Stand by. Accessing primary security protocols. Your access has been approved. Welcome to Level 11P7.
Welcome everyone to this episode of Level 11P7. We are in the bunker, the core group.
Oh yeah,
of gang of meddling kids. This is really.
Yeah, this is it.
Those of us who have no lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have lives, and this is it.
Yeah. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God.
I prefer to have a different approach to this. A different.
I'm so depressed. No. I gotta go.
But you know, we at least have coffee.
Yeah, there is that.
So there's that. All right.
It's almost like the dark side having cookies.
You guys heard that New York City has opened its first decaf only coffee shop. Mm-hmm.
Only because you posted it today.
Yeah,
I know.
What would be the point?
I know.
New York.
I know. Apparently one of the magazines up there or newspapers or something. commented that this actually is one of the signs of the culture apocalypse. Yeah, and I'm like, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Somebody was looking for a niche and couldn't come up with anything decent.
Right.
So they're like, hey, why don't we just specialize in decaf? Because there are people who like to drink decaf. Let's give them their own.
Yeah, but they're not well. Well, and they should not be encouraged.
Well, this is the kind of thing that comes about after something happens and somebody says, you know, somebody ought to.
I wish them the best in terms of having a successful business.
I know you don't. You're scared that it might happen here.
I regret to inform them. I will not be patronizing their establishment.
I will admit I tend to drink decaf, but I have good reason.
Well,
but you can find decaf at a coffee store.
Speaking of the apocalypse.
Yeah. So
we are in the bunker. And my name is Jason Hunt, and the other voices that you hear are
Cammy
not,
Saddle.
Not
the
in
next
my head.
Voice you hear.
Hi, I'm Maya.
Good
evening. Nice. Sorry.
The yelling.
Yes. And then next to Maya is...
I am Timothy, and I am traumatized.
Yes, Timothy Harvey there, and...
Apparently I don't need caffeine.
Say your name.
I'm everybody's punching
speechless.
Back. I'm
say
Dan
your name.
Handley.
Dan Handley. All right. See, because I
have not hit you lately.
I say everybody's names. I always introduce everyone. They're just going
to
shake.
I
it
was
up
trying
a little
to mix it up. Sorry.
No, we try. We try. Okay, so that's the.
We didn't send a memo out.
That's the digression for the show.
Did Cammy
so
introduce
cute.
Herself?
See, but see, yes, Cammy did. But y'all were talking and didn't pay attention.
Obviously,
so
we were digressing.
Episode.
She's a shy retiree.
The episode of for tonight.
What show are we recapping tonight?
Shield.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the episode Among Us Hide, and it picks up just pretty much like we said 2 weeks ago what was going to happen, because last week we got Gemma on the Planet Purple in the flashback episode, and this week we pick up right where we left off with, is Andrew dead?
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, no.
Wait, what?
Not as such.
He wasn't even slightly dead.
Mm-mm.
Not even. So
I'm not dead.
He looked like he was resting.
I'm not dead.
You know?
So Hunter is persona non grata. He's sitting in the corner with a dunce cap. Everybody's giving him a hard time because he did his job.
Yeah, and he had no choice.
Well, he didn't. You know, that's the mission.
Well, you always have a choice.
That's the mission. His mission was to go after Ward.
His answer should have been, I followed my orders.
No, that answer rarely holds up.
No.
Yeah, it sounds like higher than that.
That's Nuremberg stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
That
hasn't flown for a while.
Yeah, but you were making the comment during the show several times.
Oh, that it was a season one episode?
Yeah.
It
felt very sloppy.
The Coulson thread, okay, was fine. And there was some interesting stuff happening there. But everything else, the rest of this episode, felt like it was.
It was just jangled up. It didn't feel like it was almost like the script needed one more pass for a polish.
Well, it needed someone to sit there and come through and say, "Okay, wait, where do they work again? What are their jobs again? Who are these people again? Yeah. It felt like it's... Oh, wow. I mean, there were just so many things that were just flat out wrong in terms of what to do, how to do it, and the the way the characters were reacting. It just felt very odd and disappointing. Not to mention one of the worst wah-ha-ha moments I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. So basically, the threads of the show, Coulson and Abigail Brand. we're just gonna cut to it. That's who she is.
That's not what they're calling her.
I know.
And you don't really know that. Yeah.
Coulson and Roslyn are meeting because Coulson's supposed to take a tour, and oh my, her apartment gets broken into.
Her house.
Well, whatever the place where she lives. That has brand new furniture, very nice stuff that doesn't look lived in at all.
The whole place doesn't look lived in.
Right. So Coulson suspects that it's
staged.
A diversion. It's staged. Stage break in to keep him from going to the facility.
A lot of expensive stuff around that was not taken.
Right. And in the meantime,
maybe she lives at the facility. Maybe she doesn't actually live there.
I don't think so. I don't know. I think she probably does live there, but it's not. She's probably not there very often.
She has good maid service.
There's that. Maybe the same guys that cleaned up Nick's house after they took Trouble.
That's right.
Trouble. What? The one with the crossbow. Yes. So in the meantime, Hunter is looking for something to do, trying to be helpful.
Yeah, sort of.
Everybody, he's pesky younger brother that nobody wants to hang around with, hanging around.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you go find someplace else to busy yourself, please? Go away.
Yeah. Well, before that happens, we have the whole he gets his butt handed to him by May.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And again, for doing his job.
Yes.
And then he has the emotional discussion with Bobby. Who has just had the emotional discussion with May? Slightly different.
Yeah, that was
physical.
She was recruited.
It was a test.
All right, but here's the thing: did anybody not know it was a test? Did anyone not look at this and go, "May is testing her right now"?
That thought didn't go through my head, but I did look at it and think, this is really out of character for May.
I did too.
There's got to be a reason for that.
I agree.
But I didn't see it necessarily as a test.
I knew it was a test.
Yeah. I figured, with Andrew, but I'm sitting there going, I didn't think that she felt this way. This is not.
You mean
we haven't gotten an indication that she still had this strong of a feeling for him?
Oh no, that didn't bother me as much as it's like, okay, if someone were to try and hurt my ex-wife, I'd be pretty livid. Mm-hmm. Especially if the relationship isn't a terrible relationship.
Right.
You still have feelings, and you can still react with anger when somebody threatens them or hurts them. Actually, May didn't feel like May at all this episode.
For her to threaten Bobby and almost accuse Bobby of being responsible for what happened to Andrew was silly.
I think she was reacting to the fact that she the camera kept zooming in and out, and she kept losing her character because tonight was also an example not only of the characters not being who they're supposed to be, but the cameraman needs to, get off the dolly or get off the track or whatever, because it's like,
well,
quick,
and they
zoom
set
in,
up, they
zoom
set up
out.
That one shot to dolly into May when she says, "Yeah, I'm back."
But that's
such a Chuck Norris, Sylvester Stallone '80s.
It's the hero shot.
It's the hero shot,
and the hero shot works. Actually, I'm not sure the last time the hero shot actually worked.
Well, it only works after the hero's done something heroic,
right?
I mean, really? I mean, not standing there,
basically
announcing that they're coming back to the team,
and I'm back.
Well, that only works after they've blown through a door or put a hole in the wall, and they come through, and the smoke clears, and
they
walk in.
Well, they forgot to write that in the script.
But the thing is, the dolly is a common drug in L.A. You get on it, it's hard to get off of. It's almost like what J.J. Abrams went through with the...
With lens flares?
With the lens flares. It's addictive.
Tim, I think I know what happened this week.
Yeah.
I think the whole crew and the writing staff and the crew and everything, they said, okay, it's musical chairs. Everybody switch places, and we're going to do an episode.
You know what?
Chinese fire drill.
It feels like there was a writer strike going on that we didn't know about, and they dusted off an old script to fill in the space.
You know,
one that they by didn't Billy, do 8-7. On,
in the first season.
I'm struck by the fact that we're having this conversation about an episode on the same day that I've sent follow-up invitations for members of the cast to come join us on the show.
We need them here.
Never mind.
Well, no,
it might feel the same way.
But in all fairness, you know, the cast is fine. The cast, you know,
and then they might be able to explain to us what the heck was going on.
Well, it
wasn't hard to follow what was going on. It's just it's not consistent with what we've seen coming out of this season so far.
And maybe why characters weren't playing to their type as much as they.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't feel like the cast wasn't doing what they were asked to do. It just felt like...
I'm talking about the characters, not really the actors.
The story beats were off.
And I think that effect... for example, nobody in S.H.I.E.L.D. acted like they were in S.H.I.E.L.D. tonight.
Oh, yeah, they were all just little rogue groups of people.
Well, and we got this, you know... I'm aware that Daisy... recognizing that she's an inhuman, she feels strongly about inhuman issues, but she knows Coulson, she works for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
And to see that, you know, why isn't he reacting? Why isn't he angry?
Yeah.
Because he's Phil Coulson, director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. In the middle.
And he's right there in the middle.
What's he supposed to be doing, Daisy?
Well,
drawing attention to himself?
And let's set this up because what she wants him to be reacting to is the fact that the ATCU has this facility and they find it because they've been following Banks, because they think that Soldier Banks from the ATCU might be Lash.
Mm-hmm.
So Hunter goes, shoots him, gets some of his blood for testing.
It was just an icer.
Yeah, just a flesh wound. Mm-hmm. So then they follow him to the facility and launch a little stealth drone, stealth dwarf.
It became stealth after it was already in.
Yeah, after it flew into the building.
Exactly, yeah, because we had to see it. You know, because they got to pay for this. You know, they got the effects budget.
They could have turned it invisible before it went in.
Yeah, they could have.
Did anyone expect something really terrible to go wrong with that?
Yes, because
Daisy's like, Fitz says it isn't ready, but I stole it anyway.
Oh yeah, that was totally a Chekhov's gun.
Yeah.
You know,
that was season one's guy.
I know.
Mm-hmm. And when they get in there and they find out that it's a facility that the ATCU is using to house the inhumans that they collected, and they're trapped in amber. I mean, for lack of a better description, I mean they're in some sort of a suspended animation gel. Mm-hmm. And Rosalind actually has a decent explanation for it. I mean, they're in a basically it's the same as you take a person with a terminal disease and you put them in a medically induced coma so you can treat them.
The difference
and it actually makes sense.
The difference
sorta.
Is that.
I mean,
we don't know that all of these people were dangerous or want to be cured.
Well,
they didn't have a choice.
Yeah, the consent thing certainly factors into it, but
it's national security, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, see, here's what I'm seeing is this is something that has happened to someone. It's like an epidemic. There's a disease, and Rosalind attributes. I mean, she does compare it to a disease. Mm-hmm. So my thinking is story logic. This is my assumption of the story logic. This is not, you know, real life. It doesn't make sense. But they collect everybody that they find, and they put them in a box.
Right.
All right. They find a cure. At some point, you know, that's the goal, is to find some way of reversing this so that the fish oil in humans can be human again.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, you bring them out of it, and you could say, okay, we've got a fix. You can go home, your family be safe, and whatever. And at that point, they go, no, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. You think that'll happen?
I don't think we're going to get to that point for a while.
Okay, we're going to get to that point by the end of the season. And it's going to be a lot more of a...
It'll be like the X-Men story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We found a cure, but we don't want to be cured. There's something wrong with us.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
could be longer because they keep pushing the movie back.
We've seen the Amber facility. You can't just leave it.
So you're talking... It's the Chekhov's gun.
It is a Chekhov weaponry.
Yeah. A big one, though.
Yeah. Well, and
Coulson says that it's more like something. He says it's like a nightmare.
Well, okay. Right. You know, she makes the point. She talks and she establishes how much. It's hard to tell how much these two are playing each other,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if they are playing each other right now, because. She has a good explanation. She lost her husband to cancer. You know, she...
Well, what is it? What's the saying? The path to hell is paved with good intentions.
Oh, of course. Of course. So, but she's also somebody who she is being set up to some degree as being in conflict with Coulson.
Mm-hmm.
And if we've learned anything from this show so far, is that... Whether Coulson is right or not, Coulson ends up on the right side. Because, mm-hmm, of course, he makes mistakes, and that's okay.
Sure.
But she's setting, you know, there's a potential for her to be in conflict with Coulson, which means that at some point she will be in conflict with Coulson, mm-hmm, and he will sit there and go, but I was right, and you were wrong. And so, it's all going to come crashing down.
Mm-hmm. At that point, she recognizes that she was wrong.
Changes her name to Abigail Brand.
Takes her toys and goes up into space
right,
and sets up, mm-hmm, sword.
Well, yeah, here's the thing.
There's the prediction.
You've got to look at who she is and say, all right, when she was given that little backstory and telling what the whole thing was about, was she being honest?
Don't know.
Well,
or was she lying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Given the fact that Rosalind is most likely an alias. I mean, there's nothing that says that anything that she says is true at this point.
Mm-hmm. We don't know enough about her background. We don't know enough about her, period, to know,
right, yeah, we just
when
know what
she's telling the truth or, right, not.
Exactly. We know her furniture is brand new.
Yeah.
Well, and what concerns me, of course, is that if she is in fact lying and Coulson is in fact believing her, then even this portion of the episode that I actually like is broken. This episode is broken.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of breaks, we're going to take one. See what I did there?
That
nice.
Was nice.
Nice.
Yeah, see, you know, I take my wins when I can get them.
Nice.
We are going to refill copy mugs, and in the back half here after the break, we will do more analysis of tonight's episode. And talk a little bit about other Marvel stuffs, maybe, and when Level 117 continues right after this.
You're listening to Sci-Fi for Me Radio, until you unsubscribe in a sudden but inevitable betrayal.
There are plenty of places to get your genre news. We get that. Which is why we go visit those places for you. And then we bring it all back here so it's all in one handy little place. Sci-Fi for Me is your one-stop shop for everything genre. Comic books, video games, TV, movies, the latest best-selling novels. Join us as we delve into the many story universes over a nice cup of coffee. We've got everything you need, all in one place. Sci-FiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Hi, this is Jason Hunt, and if you're one of the dedicated listeners for this show, first of all, thank you. Second, you are sharing with others, are you not? And you should be aware by now, we have many shows as part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Our Marvel discussion on Level 117, the DC chat on the Rogues Gallery, Sci-Fi for Chicks talking about various topics, which we also do in mixed company on the Echo Chamber, and H2O, which is our one-on-one discussion between Mr. Harvey and myself, now syndicated over at Amazing Stories Magazine. Sci-Fi for Me Radio is more than one show, and we'd like to invite you to join us for all of it, or at least try it out and see what you think. And also check out Sci-Fi for Me TV, that's our YouTube channel, where we have interviews, convention panel video, all part of giving you the most bang for your buck. Oh yeah, wait, no, it's free. So check it out, Sci-Fi for Me Radio and Sci-Fi for Me TV, all part of SciFiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon. Or find them on the web at atomiccotton.com. Atomic Cotton. Shirts and art for fans by fans.
And now, back to level 11D7, the only 100% Hydra-free podcast on the internet. Hail Hydra.
Back on level 11D7, Jason Hutt here, along with the gang of meddling kids.
And I would have gotten away with it, too.
Yes.
You didn't warn me. I was having to put my headphones on, rushing around.
I never warn anyone.
Yeah, well,
it's a test to make sure you're all prepared at every moment of your lives.
And failed. You have failed.
You have failed.
Oh, were you talking
podcast.
Just now? Because I was totally somewhere else.
You failed this podcast. Okay. Jason out here along with Dan Handley.
Hey, how's it going?
Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
Maya Aids.
Yo-dio.
Cammy Settle.
And me.
And we're talking about Marvel's level 11D7.
Yeah.
Oh, if only. If Marvel gave us a couple of bucks,
I think we could write an episode that wasn't so filled with undue drama.
If Marvel gave us a couple of bucks, you could afford to give us a couple of bucks.
We haven't even talked yet about Powers Booth coming back. So let's talk about Powers Booth coming back.
Hey, did you know Powers Booth came back?
Powers Booth came back.
Yeah, so, okay. So
you guys are so silly.
So Baby Strucker, in his flailing around to escape, because
find out why he had that panicked look on his face.
Yes.
We'll get there in a moment.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. But he was not a smart little dude.
No, he wasn't. And he was a wasted character.
Baby Strucker is pretty terrible.
Baby Strucker is a wasted character. So he goes to Lisbon, Portugal. And meets up with Powers Booth's character, who actually now has a name, Gideon Malik, who is part of, those of you who are paying attention, part of the Shadow Council that we saw in the Avengers movie, the first one. And the dialogue would seem to indicate, is he the only one that's still around?
The implication is that he's the last survivor of the council. Yeah. Whether or not that's true, I mean, that seems to be where we're pointed.
And does this episode also tell us then that he was Hydra infiltrated into the Shadow Council?
That's what it seems like, too.
That's what it looks like.
Yep.
He certainly chose a side tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Baby Strucker goes to him.
He was already Hydra. I mean,
wah, 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 wah.
That was
Ward's going to kill me.
Help me, Mr. Wizard.
That's okay. I'll help them out.
Yeah. He turns him in, makes it easy for Ward to find him. And that's where we get our Karate Kid, sweep the knee scenes where, May and Mockingbird go in and rescue Strucker just in time for him to die
just
and reveal.
To say this, though.
Yes.
Because they bust the door open.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. May has two guns.
May has two guns in her hands and sees this room with Von Strucker strung up like, the lamb, the slaughtered lamb that he's going to become.
Right.
Obviously, he's been tortured, and they're doing things to him. And these three guys are watching, and they're armed. And she doesn't shoot.
Well, see, if she had shot, then we couldn't have the fight scene, and we couldn't have Bobby proving to herself that she can do this.
Yes, because Bobby doesn't know that she's 100% yet.
Oh, it was a rite of passage. Okay, sorry. I wouldn't want to take that away.
Oh, God, it was awful.
Yeah, it was.
No, Bobby wasn't awful. It was just obvious that they should have taken care of it like actual spies.
For season one, it's like Tim said, it's a season one episode.
It's a season one.
There's
episode.
a lot of hand of the writer in this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was.
And it was, this has to happen because it has to happen for this to happen.
Right.
Right.
And they need to be really, really upset, not just angry, but really, really upset. So we're going to write it in the script.
And when we go back, moving back to earlier in the episode, we have our scene where they go to the bank, right?
Yeah. Right.
And
this is May and Bobby.
Yeah. So Bobby actually does something crazy, like, try and not have the first...
Yeah, like trying to be a spy.
Right.
Like trying to talk their way out.
Subterfuge.
Exactly.
Sure. Right.
And May gets all upset. Right. Because
she wants to beat somebody,
right? And it's not that May sitting there.
These were not the
actually.
Bad
that's
guys.
Not you, usually May's way
you
either.
You could have May sit there and go, okay, I would have liked to have hurt them because I need to hurt somebody right now because that's where I am. That's right. But mm-hmm. no, instead we got,
right.
why are you trying to be, oh, I don't know.
Why are you trying to talk
agent
our way out
type
of this?
Person? yeah. You know, what's wrong with you?
No, like, but she didn't. Instead, she was basically calling her a wuss.
Yeah, pretty much.
That you're being a weenie because you're afraid that you're not 100%.
Well,
stop
not only
it.
That, but you go to a major, what is clearly a major financial
right. with international clients.
With international clients. And you make the complete assumption, mm-hmm. which is incredibly dumb mm-hmm. assumption, mm-hmm. that nobody there speaks Mandarin.
Right.
Right.
Which I have some news. Mm-hmm. There are many, many, many very wealthy Chinese people.
Yes.
And they speak Mandarin, and they probably travel around the world. So it's
well, and the other thing too is the on the fly looking things up mm-hmm. while Bobby's talking to the bank manager,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and Fitz is like, "Oh, that's me. I see what you're doing. I wanted to, yeah, like mm-hmm. I got a flash to Continuum.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
on Sci-Fi.
Yes, mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. where you know mm-hmm. Alec mm-hmm. would be the one to go. Oh, you're talking to me now. Okay. Right. And, you know, it's I'm like, hang on. I've seen this before.
right. Yeah.
But, yeah, it was one of those where well, see, and it actually makes a whole lot of sense that Mockingbird would try to talk their way out of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because, that's what we mean.
Well,
it makes more
the
sense
bad guys.
To,
they're just doing their – they're right. guarding the bank.
There's that plus that kind of exit – mm-hmm. from the bank, let's say, is right. much more noticeable.
Well, you think
than just talking your way out of it.
Exactly.
Well, and then of course you have the security guard, who, despite the fact that he's a security guard, who works for the guy what they're talking to, mm-hmm. reaches for his gun for
why?
Reasons
why?
Because he had to.
Yeah, exactly. Because no. the script told him to reach for his gun.
No, he did not.
He
have
was
to.
Trying to provoke
no,
them.
The script told him to reach for his gun.
Yep.
He had no motive. It
okay,
was just
another one that I've been wondering about.
I thought he just wasn't buying it.
So Hunter talks to Fitz, mm-hmm. and he's saying, you know, if the ex-boyfriend is going to come to Tucson, yeah. don't buy him a ticket, blah, blah, blah. Do you think that Fitz has found something about the getting back to the planet, and he's not telling her?
No,
telling
no,
Simmons?
No. no,
I yeah, I got a vibe.
I
got
wondered,
a vibe for about 2 seconds,
yeah.
but
yeah,
I don't
there.
Think Fitz
well,
is that kind of person.
I think he's done the research on the guy. We saw right, we yeah. saw that he basically mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it's not he. Yes, he loves her in a way that honestly. You know, makes him about one of the best people on the yeah. face of the planet.
This has gone yes, beyond does. His own hopes and dreams. This,
but
is, this is about her.
It doesn't mean he's not going to research the opposition, oh, right. as it were.
Yes.
And
by the way, hashtag Will Sim.
Oh, yeah.
so, you know, we're, okay. we're
very
putting
good.
That
we
out
called
there.
It. We called it last
yeah.
year.
So, yeah.
The,
well, and
well, the thing
now
is
there's
on
the
that
hashtag
one,
Mocking May.
Mocking May? Mm-hmm. Sure. That works. Well, the thing with that I've caught between Hunter and Fitz is when Hunter said that thing about, you know, the ex-boyfriend. And
yeah.
yeah.
Fitz goes, well, that was
really,
really specific.
yeah.
And you know that there's a story there. Mm-hmm.
Of course yeah. there is.
Mm-hmm. You know there's a story.
Oh, sure.
So now the question now becomes, how do they get Will back?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
because you can't just leave him there
forever
for the season.
No.
I mean, he's there. They've got to figure out some way to get back there. But then how much can you do that without getting into Guardians of the Galaxy territory?
Well, it depends on where the planet is. Because one
yeah,
of the things
we
have... We
don't
have,
know
we have,
that yet.
Not to mention the fact that... Okay. So we get him back. How many episodes is it going to take before it reveals that he has a deep, terrible secret? Because
one,
I know it's going to be so bad.
It's like,
wow, that's not very many licks on the Tootsie Roll Pop.
I was thinking,
I haven't seen the full version of that commercial for years.
Aww.
I always see the cut version.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, it only takes three, according to the owl.
Yes. Yeah, but it used to be there was a really long
yeah,
there was a
he
much
asked
longer
two or three
yes.
other animals first.
Yeah, he asked the tortoise mm-hmm. and he
oh,
asked
I don't know, ask owl.
Yeah, yeah, and he goes to, you know, Mr. Owl and
mm-hmm, sure.
and that part is even cut down mm-hmm. because you know, the owl says, well, let's see. And he reaches for it and he picks it up. And one, two.
The anticipation.
Yeah. Okay, I totally took you out on a digression. I'm sorry. Let's go back to the episode here. Come on.
Okay, so back to Will. Back to
at least one episode. One episode.
Well, let's see. They get Will back and then he tries some of the fish pills.
Ooh. Oh
no. No.
Do you think they've got all those off the market by now?
Yeah, they said
they
have.
Did they figure out where the contamination was coming from and they got them off the market?
I think that the first episode they made some reference to that, didn't they?
Well, I think they
I don't remember.
Well,
they
stopped the supply. They can't stop the supply.
they haven't found all of the ones that are already out there
right. That
are bought.
Right.
Right.
Or the fish, perhaps.
So speaking of
out there.
Well, no. Speaking of, well, fish? Yes, actually, to some degree. But also speaking of the deep, dark, terrible secret.
Mm. Yeah. Andrew.
Okay.
Okay. Who's going to spill the beans?
I called it.
Yeah.
It's yours, Tim.
Yeah.
Okay. So Andrew is Lash, and the reason he survived and was able to give such a very clear and lucid account while having been attacked and hit a neck brace at the hospital or in the shield facility.
On a backboard.
But he was able to talk very, very clearly. I could see it like it was yesterday.
or maybe it was 15 minutes ago.
It was yesterday.
Is that, of course, when Baby Strucker tried to kill him, there was a shield agent there to protect him.
Mm-hmm.
Because Coulson's not an idiot.
Right.
We were kind of wondering why it was just, you know, why on earth is Andrew not trained?
Mm-hmm.
He was married to May. He lived with May. He slept next to May. Yeah. Surely this rubs off.
Right.
Surely she would train
him herself just to help keep him safe.
Just basic self-defense.
Mm-hmm. Or she would do some things that would to keep him in line that he would learn from.
Yeah.
That's right.
When did Shirley come in?
Oh.
Don't call me Shirley.
Yes, he did.
But
the reason, of course, that he manages to survive is that he turns into Lash and then goes a-killin'.
Which doesn't make any sense at all.
Mm-mm. No, it really doesn't. Mm-mm. Now,
even if you accept the premise that Andrew is Lash, Lash is going after Inhumans.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There is no reason for Lash to kill anybody that's in there other than the fact that he's being attacked.
Right.
Right.
Why blow your cover,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're going to leave somebody alive?
Well, because you're in this episode.
Well, then.
Which is the answer to that question. Because
I could have even bought that.
Did he know that Strucker got out alive?
Well, yeah, he was.
He let him go.
But it didn't matter because he's in this episode.
Right.
Yeah.
You could probably make the case that he just thought people would think he was crazy if he was tried to say anything.
I don't even know. I mean, it's Baby Strucker. You know,
that's not even season one for season one.
Yeah.
I mean, Andrew set the whole place on fire. Was that after Von Strucker ran out?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
He had to cover it. He had to kill all the bodies that he had taken their chests out of, you know.
Right. Well,
I could have
bought that whole thing with him being Lash if he didn't remember what he did. As the kind of like the Hulk, doesn't have really a lot of control over himself, but he's just going after these things mindlessly because they need to die.
Well, and it raises another question.
He has too many friends that are Inhumans.
Yeah, but Lash, up until this point, because we've seen him when he was talking to Fry, and he was articulate and you know demonstrated some intelligence and a knowledge of what he was doing.
Right.
And he was sitting there saying, I'm not doing this because I want to. I'm doing this because it's necessary.
Right.
And then he kills Fry.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So what makes it necessary? And at what point did Andrew become Lash?
Right.
Has Andrew always been Lash? Because in the comic books, Lash is an Inhuman.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he became that way through the normal process, right? So he's mad because these other people don't deserve to be Inhumans.
Exactly. Well, in the comic books, he's I guess, a self-appointed judge and jury to determine who's worthy enough to be an Inhuman or not. And that doesn't track with what's going on in the series.
I think one of the other things that doesn't track is that Andrew hasn't really had access to some of the information that, like, where their truck was when Lash attacked the truck with... How would he know that they were in that?
That could be a very good question.
Well, the reveal that Andrew is Lash, it feels contrived to me.
Yep.
Because there's nothing going into this that sets any of this up where you look back and go, of course it is. Because you get that with Ward.
In fact, you go along and go, no, wait a minute, how?
Yeah, exactly. But and then, of course, like Tim says, you have the mwahaha.
Oh, good Lord. The shot where he turns around and it's like...
I expected little points to come out of him
there. Well, honestly, if he did not, like, grow a mustache and twirl it at that point, I mean, it was basically...
It was the Simon Bar Sinister, right?
Oh, God. Yes. It was just like, wow.
Yeah.
And he was never creepy
you
before
must pay
that,
the rent.
But...
Oh, God. It was just so. It was like, wow.
Snively whiplash.
Oh, my nose.
Yeah, it was.
He was never creepy talking to Sky or Daisy before that. Right. And then all of a sudden,
never got
as soon as
indication.
We knew, then he starts sounding like a creepy
stalker
dude.
So was that your
friend?
Where is he? Did he tell you where he's going to be?
I mean,
he'd be
Ward,
safer here.
When we had the reveal that Ward was Hydra, he didn't really change much. Personality wise, afterwards. I mean, he got more interesting, certainly.
Well,
because now he's got something to do.
Well, he relaxed.
Actually, yes.
I mean, and this was very.
It was like he came into his own.
So this is much more like, hi there, I'm Andrew. I'm a guy, and May and I used to be a couple, and I'm very, very smart, and we're doing our little psychoanalysis thing, and I'm helping you. I'm helping you. Which actually brings you to the title of the episode, Among Us. Hyde, H-Y-D-E.
Except that's not how it's spelled.
I know, but
yes.
H-Y-D-E.
Yes, it is. I thought of that when I saw the title.
Right.
Well, that would have given it away because Hyde is a character played by Kyle MacLachlan.
Right.
So you couldn't actually go there, but that's that play on words that is there that was better than Dan's pun earlier.
most puns are better.
I don't know. It
feels like we could have gotten to this point without...
This episode felt half-baked.
Without basically,
not just, fully baked.
It was a season one episode.
This was an
really,
easy
if Rosalind had been Lash, it actually would have made more sense to me than Andrew.
I agree.
Well, you talked about it.
No, it really would have, because she had information on where people, you know, where humans were.
From a story logic standpoint,
yes.
Up until this point, again, you were going to say...
Yeah, I was going to say, you talk about it being a season one episode with that drone. Mm. It almost seems like I expected Coulson to either acknowledge that the drone was there or somehow to say to Daisy, what were you doing with the drone?
You mean afterwards?
Yeah.
He'd see it and not notice it.
Or he would know it was there or just expected it or something.
Yep.
It was the shield tradecraft tonight was crap.
Yeah, very rough.
And
very rough.
it just felt so weak. And at the risk of sounding like we're bashing our show here, this has been a fairly strong season. The show has come such a long way from the first half of season one, where I don't know that we were actively hate watching the first half of season one.
But they gave us lots of fuel.
But our frustration level was.
You were hate watching Sky.
I was hate watching. Well, yeah, because she was being written very poorly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And no offense to the writers who clearly got better until tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm.
We'll call it a rare mess.
What did you guys think of Ward tonight?
Yeah, it was Ward.
Yeah, Ward was Ward.
There wasn't a lot of him, but I mean, he was at least in character.
I tell you what, I actually kind of think Ward is less interesting this season.
Yeah.
Because Ward is trying to be the guy in charge.
It's no fun at the top.
Ward works so much better if he's like
crazy person on his own, the wild card.
And, and it flies in the face of everybody's expectation that he was going to be Taskmaster.
Well, and it, you know, wouldn't, yeah. Okay, upper management.
Not what it's upper
called. Careful, is, careful, careful.
Upper management is no fun.
No, it's not.
And
I can speak to that.
I really want something like, you know, I want Ward to go on like a killing spree and sit there and go, oh, work at no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Yeah. Well, and to Maya's point about it being more interesting that Rosalind would be Lash. Mm-hmm.
The only, I don't know about more interesting, but it makes more sense to me.
Well, I mean, it would make sense if Banks or somebody else were as well. But the main reason that you can't have Rosalind be Lash is because she's Abigail Brand.
Or at least she's the analog,
yeah.
The Abigail Brand analog of this world so far.
Yeah, because ACTU is going to end up being Sword.
So eventually she'll see the light.
Oh, they'll call it Sword. Yeah. Eventually. They'll have Agents of Sword.
They won't be able to resist.
As a spinoff.
As a spinoff. After the Hunter Mockingbird show plays its course.
There you go.
That'll be a short show.
Yeah.
And then, because they'll have a mission and they get done with the mission.
Hunter always been as, well, stupid as he was tonight?
He was very reckless today.
He was a dork tonight. He was such a little brother. You pegged it. He was the pesky little brother.
Well, when he was in the band,
he was Cousin Oliver.
With
somebody
Daisy?
Play with me.
He was Cousin Oliver.
God bless
him. He wasn't as bad as Cousin Oliver.
It almost seems to me that like they were trying to turn him into comic relief tonight. It just didn't work that way.
Yeah.
Well, but again, we come back to the fact that he did the thing that he was supposed to do, and everybody acted like he had, you know,
committed this horrible crime.
He kicked a puppy.
Except when he ran out of, you know, he jumped out of the van and iced Banks.
That wasn't a plan.
Yeah, but what Tim's talking about goes back to shooting Ward. He was working the mission.
In fact, to be perfectly honest, what would have really helped this episode is actually having him sit there and
explain.
No, not even explain. Just in somebody's face, going, "You know what the job is."
Just back off,
Maze, for example.
Uh-huh.
Right.
You know what the job is, and you would have taken the shot too. And if you know Andrew couldn't defend himself, whose fault is that?
Or if you're compromised, don't go on this mission.
There's a piece of a scene where he almost did that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
then didn't. Yeah.
It didn't
quite go as far as it needed to go to get that.
He would have been justified to do that because that was the mission, and he made a choice. And quite frankly, if you're in the agency, if you're in the spy agency business,
well, you know, he actually did because he was in they were in the hallway, and he said that I was doing the job, and Coulson says, "Yeah, and you failed."
Yeah, but
I didn't quite understand Coulson's.
Well, he means he missed him. I think he means he missed
yeah,
the shot.
Yeah, but then he pulled him off the job.
Here's the thing, though. He
hit him.
He didn't kill him, but he did shoot Ward. And now that we're seeing Ward, we're not seeing any ill effects.
Yeah,
you know, he had his arm in a sling.
They should be showing.
Oh, did they have a sling?
Yeah, he had his arm in a sling.
But he was shot in the back, I thought.
He was shot in the shoulder, in the back.
Oh, I thought it was lower than that.
No,
I did too.
It hit him in the shoulder blade.
Okay.
I thought it was lower in the back.
So how does this, why does he have an arm in a sling?
Yeah.
Because move your
when
arm.
He jumped
to immobilize
into the
it because the muscle tissues were torn by the bullet.
Sure.
That
again,
when he jumped in the back of the pickup, he strained his arm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No.
We're trying to justify the writing this time.
This is just not
The sling makes more sense than a lot of other things
that happened tonight.
My favorite with Ward.
Do not stare directly at the.
My favorite with Ward tonight was when he said, "They came into my house. They tried to kill me in my own house." Like, he was just incredulous.
That sounded like something from something else.
Well, it almost sounded like Hyde, you know.
Actually. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Kyle LaBlanca.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounded like something he would say.
But there was something.
What?
No,
can you
there was something.
They want me dead?
No, there's something in another show that was similar, but I can't think of what it was. It was just,
take your pick.
It
almost felt like a Godfather parody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, You come into my house? You come into my house? It's anything with Al Pacino. It's anything with Al Pacino.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, now we just need to be introduced to his little friend.
Okay, now we need to see Al Pacino in a Marvel something.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
What part would he play?
J. Jonah Jameson.
It wouldn't matter.
Oh,
Parker! Oh, that could be fun. Or no, but J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, J.K. Simmons has to come back. They've got to bring him back.
Oh, wow.
Did you see Sam Raimi, that article that said that he'd consider doing another Spider-Man movie?
Yeah, uh-huh. Some of that. They're not going to let him.
No, they'll never let him touch it again.
Well, there's no reason to. Not to blame, there are a lot of reasons you can't lay all the blame for Spider-Man 3 on him, but... There's no point in bringing it back. I mean, you can do other things.
It's the same way when Jack Nicholson said he'd love to go back to play the Joker, and the media said, "Ooh, he'd like to play the Joker again." It's like,
why?
Yeah,
been there, done that. Yeah. Well, and then we see images of Tom Holland
mm-hmm.
with the haircut from the animated show,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's blowing a gasket over that, going, "Oh, they're going to do it! They're excited." Because it looks like Marvel's actually getting it right, maybe.
Well, it looks
too soon to tell. It looks like it.
We've seen a photo. And yet they decide to adapt one of the least well-thought-out storylines of recent Marvel history.
Well, unless this is going to be one of those where they sit there and they go, we're going to do it over again and we're going to do it better.
Well, they have no choice.
It's not really like okay. they've got. They can't go down.
The animated version adapted the Clone Saga, and immediately improved it by the fact that it wasn't 3 or 4 years long.
Right.
That's a long storyline.
And we've got Doctor Strange casting.
Some
more people added to that.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know where that one's going to go.
Doctor Strange is going to be such an interesting thing because if they do it right, it's going to get really weird.
It's going to be strange. I wonder why
that works. Wait a minute.
who's in the running for that? Wasn't Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yeah, he's playing Strange.
Okay. Yeah.
And I can't remember the name of the actor. Do you remember who it is?
I'm not.
But basically, he's playing the character who was the surgeon, the doctor who tries to save Stephen Strange's hands after the accident and fails. So he goes with him. He follows him to the Far East, or he goes with him to the Far East, but doesn't make it all the way.
Oh.
So Strange goes on alone. So which is how he discovers the Ancient One and taps into the ability to do magic and all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of cool, actually, that they're casting people for. If you're a comic book fan, you know these bits. Mm-hmm. But if you're not, if you're, when they used to talk about Iron Man, the press used to say Iron Man is this lesser known superhero,
right?
And anyone who was a comic book fan who'd read Marvel comics for, more than 5 minutes was going, lesser-known hero.
What?
The founders of the Avengers.
What's wrong with you? In pop culture, he was lesser-known.
Well, lesser-known to the general public.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stephen Strange, as far as is very much less-known. So,
But then again, so were Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians. Yeah. But the thing is that if you're of a certain age, you remember a completely different Guardians of the Galaxy team.
That is true.
So it's going to be interesting because this is one of those few places where you're going to get an origin story
mm-hmm.
where the vast majority of the audience really has no idea.
Yeah.
Because, it's like, well, we have to do another Batman origin story. Do we? Do we really? We have to do another Superman origin story. Do we?
Sorry, the horse is dead.
Yeah.
Which was one of the advantages of Supergirl saying, that story. Right. Here's mine.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But for Stephen Strange, there's a chance to actually do something.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's an audience for magic-based stuff.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. But it's just not going to be Harry Potter.
No.
It's going to be Harry Potter all grown up.
Okay.
With a beard.
And weird.
And darker.
Much darker.
Well,
I don't know. The last
actually,
Harry Potter got kind of
dark.
That got
there, pretty but dark.
But, yeah. No, I mean, it's, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be,
But it's going to be very strange. No pun intended. It's literally going to get weird.
Mm-hmm. It's basically Harry Potter being played by Sherlock.
And we are just a couple of weeks away from Jessica Jones.
Oh,
yeah.
Hitting on Netflix, wow. November 20th.
And they're talking a Daredevil cameo at the end. Mm. The episode synopsis is leaked.
Ooh.
For the entire season.
Ooh.
So everyone's like, oh. Well, that's going to happen in this episode. That's going to happen in this episode. And episode 10 is they get help from someone in the neighborhood.
Ah.
Help from someone
Mr. Rogers?
In the neighborhood. Yes.
And his
hello, neighbor.
Won't you be my neighbor? Can you say no, that's, big red
that's
button?
A, that's a parody fan film, which is waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Right there, right?
Let's make it happen.
Mr. Rogers is the Punisher.
Oh, yes.
That actually has more relevance than it.
Well, when you stop and think about Fred Rogers' history.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. It actually does
does work.
Actually, I was reading up on that. Wasn't true.
Yeah, no, that's a complete utter rumor. He never did that.
He went to the Magic Kingdom.
Well, he was in the military, though.
He had the land of make-believe.
Well, but he was never this notorious sniper thingy. What's it?
You know, no. I was just saying he's got a military background, so it actually.
But he was always a gentle person and one of the best of us. But yeah, I mean, actually, you know, there's never going to be a Punisher story where basically he punishes you by making you feel guilty for the way you misused your life, which would be awesome.
And we'll leave that to our mothers.
do you feel bad at what you've done?
So
bad.
It's
her
job.
All right. We should make that.
Or they should do
what,
the
where the Punisher is your mother that makes you feel bad about?
No, the Punisher is Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers.
Oh, Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
They should do a Captain Kangaroo version where somebody does something wrong, he drops ping pong balls on their heads.
Oh, no. The Captain Kangaroo version is the ultimate.
Oh, there we go.
Is the ultimate Mr. Rogers Punisher, right?
Yep. Yeah. Evildoers get ping pong balls dropped in their heads.
And
Mr. Green Jeans and
yeah.
Mr. Green Jeans
Moose
is,
and Rabbit.
Is there a version of Microchip or something like that?
No, Green Jeans is the thing.
Oh, wow.
Oh, jeez.
We are trying to find something that isn't this episode to talk about.
Well, I did say after the break we talk about other Marvel stuff because
and there, you
there
are.
Is stuff happening. I mean, Ant-Man is doing gangbusters in China.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the box office in China? It's I think what where is it? 500 million? No,
so, something.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Especially for China, it's a lot.
Considering how few films they actually allow into the country.
Yeah.
I mean, it's set up to actually reinforce their own filmmaking production. So they only have like 10, 12 films. It's a really, it's probably more than that, but it's a really small number of foreign films they allow into the market.
And I heard Paul was here in town. Was here in town for the Royals celebratory stuff.
Chris Cummins, director of photography that we know.
Yeah.
Actually said, when Paul Rudd stops by your set, and he was helping shoot the World Series,
yeah.
And so when the last game here in town, Paul Rudd was here, so he came back today and came back for the party.
He did a picture of the monitor.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. We should try to get him to come by.
We should.
I'll call his mother.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. That's going to do it for us this hour and a half ish. we'll talk about the next episode next week.
And hopefully they got the mistake out of the way, the rare miss.
I don't know.
Well, everybody's entitled to a bad episode now. And
sure.
Again, they got it out of the way tonight. Let's be positive.
Yes.
Okay, we'll be positive.
Yes. Hopefully they've learned their lesson.
In the meantime, if you have thoughts about this episode or any of the other episodes of the season, you can leave them in a comment on our website or through all the social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, Tumblr, Google+. Or you can send us an email. level1187@sci-fi-for-me.com, or you can call our hotline and leave a message. It is 573-42 sci-fi. And that's going to do it for us this week. I want to thank the gang of meddling kids, Cammie Settle.
Good night.
My aides.
Good night.
Tim Harvey.
I would have gotten away with it too if it hadn't been for those meddling kids. I blame you.
And Dan Handley.
You've still got to watch out for Mike Tyson, though.
And on behalf of all of us here at Sci-Fi for Me, that thanks for listening. I'm Jason Hunt. We'll be back next week.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.